soul.
Blog Talk Radio.
So let's get the drums. Bring in our ass.
And hey, let us hunt some people for God.
Hey.
From every tribe and language, people, every nation.
Hey.
We're warriors of fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Lift your heart to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Hey.
Wonderful. I think, you know, I got to do that again because it just flowed. It was flowing and flowing. And we're waiting for a few more people to join us in the Blog Talk Radio studio. So if you didn't have your drum the first time around, let's just try that one more time. That felt so good. And I'm going to just bring in more energy to the drum. Just one more time. Let's move with Yeshua, the truth, of truth, and bring in your drums, get your drums, and let's call in our ancestors this powerful way. Yeah, one more time. I just felt like, so good. Let's do it.
Let us run some people for God. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Oh, Yahweh.
We're bringing us power through unity.
Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Vibration, your energy, your love, and all that good stuff. Welcome, welcome to April 16th, 2023. It's a 9. We're vibrating in the number 9. We're about to give birth to some truth and some healing energy and some peace. Peace, peace, shalom, shalom, coming, coming. No more confusion, no more questions. You know, this is, I'm calling this a part 3 because the last two Soul Purpose Healing, I brought up this topic and it just didn't seem completely finished when I saw an author by the name of Jonathan Kahn on YouTube one the other evening. I thought, whoa, he's bringing in some powerful truths here. And then I went and downloaded his book on audio. And in the last 2 days, I finished the whole book, and I just had to share this with you because I could not stop. I was up till after midnight listening to the research that this man has done on ancient truths that bring in the metaphysical and spiritual elements of what our society has been going through the last 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It's like, who's keeping up? But we just know things are crazy. Things are a little insane. But let's roll with the number 9 tonight and bring forth this baby of confusion and conflict about genders. We've been listening to all the stories, and if you were on my Friday show, I shared about the really awful way that men are transferring their gender, male to female, and vice versa. And I said to myself, this is so insane. And I went into blame mode, blaming the medical system. I thought, this is all the medical system's fault. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? But it's much, much deeper than that. Much, much deeper than that. And that's what we're going to cover tonight, is Jonathan Cahn did some impeccable research on the ancient energy, the ancient spirits around the society that we live in today. So I've got several audios. Because Jonathan breaks down of his book on YouTube. Thank goodness. If you don't want to buy the book, you're going to hear the most important parts of his book tonight. He's going to break them down. But it's an 8-hour audio book, and I highly recommend it because it's just so much in this book that explains the spiritual, metaphysical energy that we have been observing in our society, in our communities, and on the news. He really breaks it down, what's been going on for ancient times. I didn't realize the Bible is only about 2,000 years old. So if you think about 2,000 years of that particular history, and that's what he is good at, bringing out the details of the Bible that were put in there 2,000 years ago. And now he goes beyond, way beyond the 2,000 years, way back, so that we can begin to truly see what has been going on in the metaphysical, spiritual way. So I want to introduce you to him in a video about, let's see, the name of this video is The American Wokeness, The American Wokeness. And this is just an introduction to this author and pastor. He's written several books that have really sold millions. So, I mean, he's no minor element in the author and history book section. He's a top author in the Amazon, top seller. So I want you to just have an introduction, first of all, with this teaching that is about American wokeness. Powerful. And it just gets better and better, in my opinion. It gets better and better. And if you take notes, you're going to see the thought process of where we are today with not just transgender and gender confusion, but materialism and all the things that the energy of Baal or Baal brought in with the Bible and before and ancient. And when you study, the more you study about the Anunnakis and Adam, even Adam had a wife named Lilil or whatever her name was. Let's see. And, you know, I've learned so much about the people and the Bible that I had to move beyond the Bible. Adam had a first wife named Lilith. Most of you probably know that in my audience. And then her mother was named Sophia. If you you can read all about those people now. We have access to those people now on the internet. It wasn't just Adam and Eve. So when you learn more and more and more about the Bible, which I was raised in, I've been in the Christian community, or I was in the Christian community since birth. My grandfather was a Church of God in Christ pastor, and my mother took me as an infant on a train to from Chicago to Southern Illinois, and we spent much time at my grandfather's house all my youth. So I heard his preaching, his sermons for years and years and years. And then I went through every denomination you could think of except the Catholic Church. And then I began to hear things differently and experience things differently from what I was taught in Sunday school. So I'm curious when I hear someone like Jonathan Kahn, who can share the deeper meanings of Scripture and apply it to current day circumstances. The Bible is not just a history book. It is allegories, metaphors, and symbolism. And Jonathan does a really good job of bringing all that out so we can really have peace and understanding about what we're seeing going on in our society today. So let's listen to Jonathan Kahn on the American wokeness. Here we go.
There is no name given under heaven, no other name by which we can be saved. The Hebrew prayer that's said in the synagogues, Ein Keloheinu, means Ein, there is none Keloheinu like our God. Now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting Athens used to spend their time doing nothing other than telling or hearing something new. That's a little editorial from Luke. Areopagus means the council of Ares. Ares is a Greek god. Ares is the god of war. They had their council on the hill of a god. Some people believe they had their government there. They had their trials there. Ares is the Greek god of war. When he came to Rome, when he was brought into Rome, he became Mars. So this is also called Mars Hill. Paul is standing. So here is the government meeting on the hill of a god, the god of war. And when they refer to Paul and his message and the god that he's preaching, the god of Israel, they call him a daimonian, a small god or demon. Why? That's the nature of evil. I mean, we don't know what they thought of it, but the word means that. The nature of evil is to call evil good. The nature of evil is to call good evil. And what is true, false, and what is false, true. So in our day, evil is called good. And good is called evil. Even some people speak of it as if it was demonic. Remember when Roe versus Wade was overturned? You know that leaders were calling that ruling, which is actually trying to stop killing of babies, they called it, quote, an abomination. To darkness, darkness is light, light is dark. To the enemy, sin is holy and holiness is sin. So in Isaiah it's written, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Interesting, the order here is first they call evil good, then they call good evil. It doesn't have to mean that, but that's the order. That's how it happens. That's how it happened in America. First it was, listen, do your own thing, embrace this, be open. Everybody, you know, whatever is good, whatever, you know, if it feels good, do it. Open evil is good. Hey, be tolerant, it's all good. But then once it gets in the door, it switches to the other side to now we call what is good evil. And that is why now more and more there's a growing intolerance of righteousness, intolerance of what is good, of God, of the Word, of believers. Now, first is openness, anything goes. Once it gets in power, now we counsel you. Now we indoctrinate you. Now you are going to be, you're going to come to our training session on your job so we can tell you what you have to celebrate. Yeah. Now persecution coming. So that's the way it goes. And this here, Athens is the crown of the pagan world. It's embracing all sorts of darkness and calling God, Messiah, a strange daimon or demon or some kind of little god. They're under the influence of the gods. To the god, the gods are demonic. So to the demonic, God is demonic. And demonic is God to them. This is exactly what we would expect to end time culture. This has to do with you. As in the days of Elijah. Remember, Ahab says to Elijah, you troubler of Israel, you're the troublemaker. And Elijah answers right back, says, no, it's not me. I'm not the one who troubles Israel. You are the troubler of Israel because you have abandoned the God of Israel. Amen. So to a kingdom of evil, they will see you, believers, as troublemakers, rebels,
yeah,
hate mongers. It's a radical thing, but we got to realize what we're against. We're not against people. Paul never came against people. He was stirred up against the idols, the gods, the principalities. Even if people make you the enemy, you are never to make them your enemy. That you have to pray for them. Athens was under the influence. Paul saw them as under the influence, and so he was seeking to free them from the influence. We are not fighting people. We are fighting principalities. We war not against flesh and blood. We war against principalities, though, so we can free flesh and blood from those principalities. They're calling God a strange God, but you know, in some way, he is a strange God. He is a strange God because he is different from every other God. The last chapter of the book, I focus on the other God, which is the God. He's the only one. There's none like him. He's different. And all the gods of the Greeks and the Romans and the Babylonians and the Egyptians and all the rest of the world, everybody was worshiping gods. Without the gospel, everybody was worshiping gods. That's what it was. He stood out. He was nothing like them. He is nothing like them. Couldn't see him. Couldn't touch him. Couldn't worship an idol of him. He wasn't the God of the mountains or the God of the valley. He's the God of everything.
Yeah.
The God of all. What is he called? El Elyon. What is that? God, the Most High God.
Yeah.
Yahweh, I am. Nothing like them.
Yeah.
He's not. So Messiah is unlike everyone.
Amen.
You can't even compare him. Can't compare him with Muhammad or Buddha or anybody else. There's no comparison. They, among other things, they all died and was buried. Messiah alone has an empty tomb.
Amen.
They spoke of what they thought was the truth. You know, Buddha thought he was enlightened. That's what Buddha means. And so he said, I've discovered this way. And it was just, and so that's what he thought. That's what I think it is. And he was lost. He, by his own admission, was lost before that. Muhammad was hearing voices. He thought they were the jinn or the demons. But somebody convinced them, no, it's God. And that changed everything. Buddha, you know, Messiah didn't say, let me tell you about what I think about the truth. Messiah said, I am the truth. Nobody talks like that. Nobody talks like that. To this day, nobody talks like that. They can't. Buddha called him, he was called the enlightened one. Messiah didn't sound like, he is the light. No comparison. All time is divided by the birth of this one. Every Muslim, every communist, every Buddhist, every secular person, everyone in Satan worship, they all have to date their lives by the birth of Messiah Jesus. There is none like him. There is no name given under heaven. No other name by which we can be saved. The Hebrew prayer that said...
So that's just an introduction to the author tonight, my guest, Jonathan Cain. He's a preacher. He's an author. And even though I'm not 100% on board with his teachings about Yeshua, he does call him Yeshua. He's more advanced than most preachers where he talks about Yeshua the Messiah. But when he compares Yeshua with Buddha and Muhammad, then that's where he kind of loses me. But the man knows how to look at scripture and compare it or apply it to modern day circumstances. That is what he's good at. And if you don't agree, and I want us tonight to define G-O-D. In his book, I noticed when I went to Amazon and read some of the parts of his book, he uses a capital G for the creator, but he loses a little g for all the other deities, entities, spirits, demons. So you really can get confused when he's talking on this audiobook about what is he talking about? God, God, God. He uses God only and not creator. So I want us tonight to come into a personal enlightenment, a personal growth tonight of who God is in your life. I've been asking my friends all day, who is God. So I would love to hear from you on what your interpretation, understanding, diagnosis is of God, capital God. And my personal feeling is I kind of like Neil Donald Walsh's definition, where he says that the Creator is pure energy, pure love. And this pure energy and love does not judge or condemn or compare or deal or punish. This pure energy of love is what we're going to use as maybe a working definition of what God is. And if you have another definition you'd like to share with us, please press 1 or make a comment in the studio, in the Facebook. But we want to break, because Jonathan does a great, impeccable job of bringing out the ancient history to apply to today's confusion. But his use of the word God and in a masculine sense is where he still has some growth to do. But I love, again, my definition of the Creator would be more like pure energy of love that has no judgment and no. So that's the one I'm going to work with. So let me go to the next audio. I think I got a text from Naima Latif. She's walking from the grocery store or something. So I want to play the next audio that gets us into the meat of his book, The Mystery of Men, Women, and the Priesthood. These are the next three audios I'm going to share with you, because they really bring out how we got to where we are today. They begin to show in an ancient path from thousands of years ago, how did we get to the place that we're at today? And I don't have a video to play for this one. They're going to be just audios because they're shorter than the one I just played. So let's start with the morphing of men. The morphing of men. This is what is in contained, what he brings out in his book.
Something's happening to men, to fathers, to husbands, to single men, to teenagers, to boys. It's a metamorphosis. It's a transformation. It's a morphing. What is it? And why is it happening now? And could there be a dark and ancient mystery behind it? This is Jonathan Cahn, and this is The Return of the Gods. Return of the Gods is the book, the latest book that I've written, that reveals everything that is happening right now in your world, in our culture, what's even touching your life and the people in your life. It's about the return of the ancient spirits, where this is all going, how they're taking possession of our culture, where the future will take us, and how what you need to know to prevail. This is the mystery. And I spoke of the Dark Trinity, and the second one of the Dark Trinity, called the Enchantress, who is the goddess of sexuality. And from this one, as she enters into our culture, comes the sexual revolution. But I found this strange thing about her, that she is also the principality, that it says, the ancient inscriptions say she merges gender. She turns a man into a woman and a woman into a man. And so that is why we are witnessing this right now in our culture. Ultimately, there's a dark mystery behind it. I found another inscription that says, she grinds away the masculinity of men. She grinds away the masculinity of men. So as she comes into a culture, we're going to see it. What would we expect to see? We expect to see a grinding away of masculinity. So what is that? Demasculinization or emasculinization of men. She will war against masculinity in men. So what would we expect to see? We've seen it. We're seeing it. A war against men. The goddess, interesting, in her mythology, this Ishtar Ashtoreth, this goddess challenged the authority of her father, whose name was Anu, who was the head. It was a, quote, patriarchy. So you had a problem with that. So there's a rage in our culture against the so-called, quote, patriarchy. A problem. She had a problem with males, with male leadership. She had a problem with males, period. She ended up destroying the lovers that she had. So there's a spirit in our culture that wars against masculinity in men or authority in men. It rages against it. It was an anger. And it's interesting. It came at the same time of the sexual revolution in the 60s. It's the spirit of the goddess. It's the rage of the goddess that came into radical feminism. It grinds away, seeks to remove men. This is what the goddess does. Remove men from marriage. Remove men from fatherhood. Remove men from manhood. It attacks fatherhood as well. You know, in the early 60s or late 50s, you had a show on television called Father Knows Best. You could never have that today. Today, fathers are depicted as bumbling idiots, overgrown children, or toxic tyrants and dangerous. This spirit, that's part of this spirit is rechanneling boys and young men away from being protectors, away from being providers, away from being husbands and fathers. They're taking the natural impulse to defend and protect and putting it into video games. Taking the natural impulse for family and putting it into pornography. So it is the emasculating of men. At the same time, it's the feminizing of men. It's interesting because if a man acts, quote, masculine, the culture will condemn him. If a woman acts masculine, the culture applauds him. What is that? Think about how strange that is. She grinds away the masculinity of men. And so, by doing so, she destroys marriage. She destroys fatherhood. If she can destroy fatherhood, she can alter society. She can alter families, marriage. She can alter lives. Remember that I shared early on in this about the mystery of spirits. In that one, I shared how the Bible says that behind the gods were really these spirits called the Shedim, and the Shedim is linked to the root word destroyer. So the idea is destroy. In the end, the promise was liberation, but it ends up with destruction of man, of woman, of marriage, of family, of lives. This is just a taste of what is revealed, the mystery that's revealed in full in The Return of the Gods, my latest book I've written. And this is revealing everything that's happening now, behind it, what is happening, what you need to know, where is it going, what's the future, how do you prevail. The Return of the Gods is available everywhere. Wherever there are books, you can get it for yourself, but also for people in your life who need to know. Next time, we're going to open up the mystery that corresponds with this one, the principality that is behind the morphing of women. Hit subscribe so you don't miss it. This is Jonathan Kahn. I'll see you next time.
So I'm bringing you the highlights of his book that I've downloaded from YouTube. And as you heard, the morphing of men, there's a spirit behind it. I'm sure most of you out there who are listening who are men have seen what's going on in our society, men wearing dresses. And he used the word emasculate. I remember when Kyrie Irving bought out or was crucified or criticized for tweeting information about the book that he read, the Hebrew, the Israelite book, Hebrews to Negroes. And they were emasculating him in the press, and his team owners were emasculating him, making him apologize. And so that was just one example that we saw of how many of the strong men are being treated in our society. But as he said, let's look at the morphing of women, because both of the attitude we have in our society is confused, and the identification of whether you're male or female, I think it goes back to your understanding of who God is, of who the creator is, because he uses a lot in this God, he, in his book, he talks about God as a he, but if you look at the creator as both male and female, at first I thought it was is the creator binary? Because you got people going around, well, I'm not male or female. No, I think we can honestly say creator is both. In the pure energy, and for those of you who just joined us, I'm asking you to define in your own mind and share with us who is G-O-D in your life, capital G now, because we're going to be talking about little g, all these deities and entities that have entered the atmosphere again after times of being banned. Who is big G-O-D in your life, and how do you see him? My personal view is more in line with Neil Donald Walsh's description that the creator is pure energy of love and no judgment, no condemnation or punishment, and no manipulation. And we don't see that in the church, that's for sure. So that's just what I have come to see. I was at a blueberry farm yesterday, and I was picking the blueberries, just so meditative about blueberries growing on a vine. Who does this for us? And then we got, it was a farm, so they had chickens in a cage, chickens in a cage showing their beautiful feathers. Oh, my goodness. There was a rooster in the cage, and then there were about five chickens in one, five in the other. And I was just mesmerized by the color of the feathers on these chickens. And then there was one laying an egg. And then on the other hand, there was a cage on the other side of the chickens that had a rabbit in it. And I was pointing out to my grandchildren, I said, see, rabbits do not lay eggs. The chickens lay eggs over there. So all that BS about Easter, here's the reality here. Here's the rabbit over here. It doesn't lay eggs, but there's the chickens laying eggs. You get it? And they got it. So it was a quick lesson on the difference between. But that to me was the pure love energy of the creator. And no judgment, no condemnation, no punishment. Those chickens and the beauty of their feathers, oh, and the rabbit, the beauty of the rabbit, there was just pure love energy on display in a blueberry farm where we spent, I must have spent at least 45 minutes picking blueberries. I got 2.5 pounds or more, and now they're in the freezer, so my treat tonight will be frozen blueberries. But let's go into the morphing of women. Because this is all about understanding why women and men today are confused and angry and don't know who they are and cutting off their body parts. This is what Jonathan Cahn brings out in his book, The Return of the Gods. What is going on? It's an ancient spirit that we see and morphing of women. Let's listen to another section.
Something's happening to women. To mothers, to wives, to single women, to teenagers, to girls. It's a metamorphosis. It's a transformation. It's a morphing. What is it? And why is it happening? And could there be a dark mystery behind it, even an ancient principality? This is Jonathan Cahn, and we're going to open up a mystery. You're going to get a taste of what's revealed in full in The Return of the Gods, the latest book I've written, which is the mystery behind everything that's happening now. And the secret behind it, the return of the ancient principalities, why it's happening and how it is changing your world, touching people in your life, and where is it going, what's the future, and what do you need to know to prevail. We've been looking at the god or goddess in this case, called the Enchantress, but also called the Transformer. This is the principality that destroys the lines of gender. The ancient inscription says she turns man into woman, woman into man. And we saw in the last part, she's emasculating men. The spirit demasculinizes men. And so, at the same time, it also affects women. This spirit that has come into the culture, starting with the sexual revolution, because this is the goddess also of sexual immorality, but then it takes the deeper work. As she gains possession of the culture, she now is going to change the nature of man and woman. Well, we looked at man in the last part, the morphing of man. Now the morphing of women. What does she do to women? Well, one, she seeks to defeminize women. She seeks to
remove women from their nature. She wars against manhood, so womanhood. Because if you take man out, then you're going to change woman at the same time. And to remove women from womanhood and from men, from marriage, from motherhood, from family, from whatever she can, she separates men from women and women from men so that they stop being distinct or complementary. So one has to fill in for the other. The man has to become more feminine. The female has to become more masculine. They each take on their other functions. So one replaces the other. And the spirit of the goddess says, you don't, to women, you don't need a man. Women are more made now. She seeks to make women in the image of men. So as we saw last time, society condemns masculinity in men, but applauds masculinity in women. How strange, but that's the goddess. The goddess herself was female, but she had a male nature or male attributes. So she is seeking now to make modern women into her own image, which is women with male attributes, male natures. The goddess was a warrior. So she seeks to more and more masculinize women. It says in one of her hymns, the ancient hymn, I found this, I put it in the book, says she gives weapons to women. So if you notice, there's a spirit that has come into modern culture in America and the world to militarize women, to show more and more in culture, in fantasy, women as militaristic, violent, fighting. This is actually a description of the ancient goddess herself, her characteristic. She was, not only did she fight all the time, she was violent in her nature. And so more and more society glorifies women, not as women, but as replacing men. But in the end, it replaces women. It destroys women. And that's the irony of the gods. In the end, remember, the word that they are, the Bible says they are actually spirits, shadim, which means destroyers. So now we're actually watching the elimination of the word women. Now it's being erased. Women is not, you know, is now, it's a birthing person. It's a menstrual person. It's not a woman anymore. It's eliminating it. That's the great irony and the great lie. Through liberation, and we're going to end up destroying you. That's the Shedim. The Shedim, or the gods, come back to remove men from their purpose, women from their purpose, children from their purpose, marriage from its purpose, family from its purpose, life from its purpose. It ends up in destruction. This is just a taste of the mystery that is revealed in full in the latest book I've written, The Return of the Gods. The Return of the Gods is going to reveal everything. You're going to see it in crystal clarity. What is happening, why it's happening, what it has to do with you, the people in your life, where is it going, what's the future, and what do you need to know to prevail. So The Return of the Gods is available everywhere, wherever there are books. You can get it for yourself and also for people in your life. Now, next time, we're going to reveal the mystery priesthood. Hit subscribe.
So before we go into the priesthood, which talks about the goddess Ishtar, if you're familiar with the Bible, and again, I grew up with the Bible. From infant stage, I was hearing sermons from my grandfather, and most of my life, I was in a church listening to sermons, studying the Bible, went into Hebrew of the Bible. So this has been fascinating to me. Over the last 24 hours, I listened to an 8-hour audio of Jonathan Cahn's Return of the Gods. Impeccable research into the ancient history of goddesses and gods. So he's talking about the goddess Ishtar. And if you think about the wave of feminism in our society, we went from we are as strong as men, women back in the 60s, even before 40s, 50s, 60s, we are as strong as men, to the next wave was, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. And where are we now? I am a man. What? Hello? And that's why it's important to me that we look at the spiritual, metaphysical root of all this. We are as strong as men. I don't need a man. And now I am a man. And women are suicidal and in sick health physically because of the spirit of Ishtar, who led women and men all over the world even into this deceptive role, as he said, where we are strong as men, I don't need a man, and now I am a man. And I, again, I was blaming the medical system, blaming the harsh surgeries and the deception and the lack of full disclosure on the consequences of their actions. But it's so much deeper than that. This started years and years, hundreds of years ago, where the spirits, as he says, these gods returned, these deities, I'm going to say little gods, returned. And as I said, my definition of God or creator is pure love energy, where there's no judgment, no condemnation, no punishment, and no manipulation. So when he says there was a fall from the creator, that's where we have fallen. And even the church that he preaches in has fallen short of that pure love energy that doesn't judge, condemn, or punish. So let's get into the priesthood. This is really fascinating as he describes what Ashtar, the goddess, did to men in ancient times.
Could a mysterious ancient priesthood lie behind what's taking place in our culture, on our television sets, on TikTok, in our children's classrooms? This is Jonathan Cahn. In The Return of the Gods, the latest book I've written, it opens up this mystery, reveals it in full. We're going to get a taste of it. What is happening right now? Why is it happening? What's transforming us? What's touching your life? And where is it going? What's the future? And what do you need to know? What do you need to do to prevail? The Return of the Gods, I speak of the ancient spirits, principalities that have returned from ancient times into our culture. One of them is called the Enchantress, the goddess of sexuality, but she's also known as the Transformer. She says she turns a man into a woman into a man. I found an ancient inscription. I put it in The Return of the Gods. It says she dresses men up as women. She dresses women up as men. Now, she had a mysterious priesthood. They were called back then the Asinu, the Kalu, and the Gala. They were men who walked around in her temple. They were dressed up as women. They acted as women. They spoke, some of them, in women's pitch. So what would we expect if she returned? We would expect to see the beginning of this phenomenon. We would expect to see the beginning of men dressing up as women and women dressing up as men. If you see this happening, you're seeing the return of her priesthood and the return of the goddess herself, the spirit herself, taking possession of culture. And if you see it celebrated, then you're seeing it even more so. You see, because in ancient times, in pagan times, this was part of pagan times. It hasn't been. And it was celebrated. But you haven't seen it. But the fact, if you're seeing it now, it means we are returning to pagan times and returning. The gods have returned and this principality has returned and is taking possession of our culture again. We're watching the end of a Christian civilization and the return of a pagan one and of the spirits. You see, back then, androgyny was everywhere. This is the goddess of androgyny, of male and female together. So back then, she had her priest. Today, they would be called cross-dressers or drag queens and more, this is her priesthood. Now remember, Messiah gave a warning. He said, when the spirit comes back into a man who was possessed and delivered, if they return to the man and he gets repossessed, it's going to be worse than before. Well, in pagan times, the goddess, you know, was seeking to possess a priesthood. But now, coming back, it's worse. She's seeking to possess an entire generation. She's seeking to confuse an entire generation of children. That's why they are the focal point. To confuse, to blend children. You see, when you turn away from God, this is what happens. You know, there's the only options have ever been is God or paganism. There's no in-between. And so back then we could see it was going to happen. It's happening now. That's why it's happening. Now you know. And this is just a taste of the mystery that's revealed in full in The Return of the Gods. You're going to see it with crystal clarity and understand. You're going to say, yes, now I see it. It's like, wow. And where it's going. What's the future? And what do you need to know to survive and prevail? The Return of the Gods is available everywhere, wherever there are books, for you to get and to get for those people in your life who...
So I highly recommend this book. I finished it this morning or today after, and I love audiobooks because I can do other things while I'm listening, driving. I was listening while I was driving. It's a very, very inspiring, informative. It's so informative about the ancient impact, the ancient world that we have forgotten, the ancient spirits, metaphysical meaning of things. And so I highly recommend it and it's free. You can get the book free. You can get an audio book on Amazon. You can get the app for free for 31 days. And they're going to charge you $14 in 30 days. So you get to try out the audio app for 31 days on Amazon. And that's how I listened to the book. Totally blew my mind. When he gets into New York City, I could not, that's why I was up till after midnight, because he goes into, I don't know if you, any of you know about Stonewall. Stonewall was an event in New York City back in 1969 that was considered to be the beginning of the gay transformation movement that brought on Supreme Court decisions that legalized. But this Stonewall event, if you look it up, was a catalyst for the movement of gay marriages, legalization of same-sex and all that. And then three events occurred at Stonewall. Stonewall was 1969. June 26th was the what they called Stonewall Uprising was sealed. Where a gay bar, there was a riot in a gay bar in New York City, June 26, 1969. Fast forward 2003, June 26, 2003, there was a case called Lawrence versus Tex. The Supreme Court legalized homosexuality. June 26, 2013. U.S. versus Windsor, the Supreme Court legalized marriage or changed the marriage law in America. And then June 26, 2015, Supreme Court, another decision that legalized same-sex marriage. Is this a coincidence? Not at all. He goes into this in the book in such detail about Stonewall. Read about Stonewall. There's actually a Wikipedia write-up about it that gives you all the details. Let me play one more audio before I take a call, because this one it leads into another deity, another god, little g entity called Moloch, the dark sacrifices of Moloch, because there's three dark entities that we want to bring to your attention. There's Baal or Baal, there's Melech, and there's Ashtar. We're going to give you a little description of all of these so that you fully understand the metaphysical, spiritual of this gender confusion, materialism, and all the things. When he says fallen away, these gods came back because we fell away from G-O-D. My definition is we fell away from the pure love energy of the cosmic heavenly bodies that have no judgment, no condemnation, no punishment, or no manipulation. So the church is just as guilty because they got all that going on. But here's just another summary of Moloch. The deity or G-O-D Moloch, the dark sacrifices of Moloch.
What if the dark rites and rituals and the ancient offerings of child sacrifice were actually being practiced right now all across America by people who don't even know they're taking part in it? This is Jonathan Cahn. The Return of the Gods is the latest book I've written. It reveals everything that's happening right now. why and what's behind it, that the ancient principalities, the gods of ancient times, have actually returned to the world and to America. And I speak of the Dark Trinity, the three ancient gods that are touching America and the world right now. And the first one is called the Possessor. The second is called the Enchantress. And the third, the Destroyer. Ancient Israel, when it turned away from God, these principalities came in. And what Israel ended up doing when they turned from God was offering up their own children as sacrifices. So as America turned away from God, noticeably, beginning in the early 60s, we see each of these principalities coming in and changing the culture. Like clockwork, as the Bible gave it. First, Baal, the turning. Second, Ashtoreth, the goddess, the enchantress, who starts actually in the realm of sexuality, the sexual revolution. But then must come the third, who is the destroyer, Molech. And so as the 60s come to an end, America now turns to the most pagan of acts, the offering up of its own children. As Israel turned away from God to Molech, so America turned to the same and offering up its own children as in abortion on demand. But it wasn't only the overall, actually the details. I looked at the details of the child sacrifices of ancient times, the rites and rituals. And with them, you see each one has a parallel in what's happening right now in America and the West. First, why did parents even offer up their children? Why? Because they believed that by doing so, the God would give them favor, would give them reward, particularly financial prosperity or the prosperity of their fields, fertility. Prosperity. So what are women told today of why they should have an abortion? Because they believe that, they're told that if you do this, if you have the child's going to hinder your success, your career, your ability to prosper. And so you'll make more money, your career will be blessed if you simply put away the child, you kill the child. Have stars, Hollywood stars, speaking about how they were blessed because they basically killed their child, their baby. Why else was their ancient child sacrifice? Well, they believed that it was to the benefit of all. In other words, if there was a crisis or a famine or a military defeat, they would offer up children because they believed it would benefit the entire culture, the entire nation, the people. The gods would smile on them. Well, also, that's also happening in modern abortion. That the idea is they are told that, well, you know, abortion will benefit all of our culture. You know, it will, because from abortion we have parts, we have baby parts, we have cells that we will live off of, that will help us, that will, it's basically what's, it's become a vampire culture, living off of our, the babies we have killed. What else? In the book I reveal how in the ancient times it was the poor and the children of the poor who were offered up more than any other children. And in fact, there's records of that the poor were even paid to have their child taken and offered up to the God. Well, even today, who is it, which babies are offered up more than any other? The children of the poor. The children of the poor. That's why there are so many clinics of abortion in poor neighborhoods, in cities. That's why. And so Molech is a murderer of the poor, and that often means he's a racist. What else? Why else? They believed it was a sacrament, that killing the baby was a sacrament of holiness to the God. Well, it's amazing. I put it in the Return of the Gods, actual quotes from radical abortionists and radical feminists saying that abortion is actually a holy act. To kill the child is a sacrament. One says it's not immoral, it's just a different morality. It's a pagan morality. It's a sacrifice. It's a holy act. How can you even speak of such things in the same breath? What happened to Israel when it did this? Because the ancient sacrifice of children was to them a holy act. What happened to Israel? Israel was destroyed because of it. What will happen to America? This is just a taste of the mystery that is revealed in my latest book, The Return of the Gods, revealed in full. And this is what is everything that's happening to reveal why it's happening, what's touching your life, what's touching people in your life, where it's going, what's the future, and how to prevail. The Return of the Gods is everywhere. Wherever there are books, you can get The Return of the Gods for you or for the people in your life who need to hear. Now we're going to go in the next message into another realm that's going to explain everything that's happening now as we open up the mystery of the Transformer. Hit subscribe.
There's a lot more that I'm going to share, but we've got to take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll take your call, 706-202, your next. I just wanted to say what he mentioned about baby parts. The last 3 years, we've seen a lot of deaths all over the world because of what we think was a jab, or they like to say corona. But when I was listening to this last night, I thought about how many stem cells from abortions are used in the jab to make these jabs. So it's such a deep root to all the deaths that we saw. It wasn't just the jabs. As we're talking about, there's been an entrance of deities, entities, and demons since the 1960s, where the door was opened up from the Stonewall event, for one, and from the onset of abortions. And then the last 3 years, all those vaccines that were used to, quote, save your life or help you get over a virus, they were using, in many of the experiments, stem cells from aborted babies. So that's how this spirit of Ashtar and Malek and Baal is running rampant in the United States of America. And of course, in the last hour, we want to offer solutions, what you as light workers need to do to close that door again. So I've got to go to a commercial break. Naima Latif is back in the studio, and so your mic is open if you'd like to play the next commercials.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Soo Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
And we are back. Thank you for joining me for this very important topic. And this reading this book brought me so much peace because I was just so frustrated. The first two shows I did on this topic, I was very frustrated about why is this happening? Why are men cutting off their parts? And why are women, And then when I finished listening to this book, there was like a calm that came over me to understand this long ancient history that we have been forgotten, actually. And if you've been reading the Bible all your life, these things are in the Bible. But now Mr. Kond or Jonathan does is he's put it all together in this book to help us see the connection from ancient spirits and deities and metaphysical, and to bring it forward to know that this has been going on a while. It's up to you now to change the energy of our country, of your community. So let me just real fast, we've got some comments in the Facebook community. Zelda says, grand evening or oh, great mind blower. You're not kidding. My mind was blown for the last, 24 hours. We can't get this kind of information anywhere else. Awesome. Thanks for sharing. And in this book, you don't get this kind of information either, because he just goes on and on and on. And Zelda says, when we heard the words baby stem cells for knee pain, we were quite suspicious, just didn't sound or feel right. They're experimenting with stem cells these days. And I heard one story on YouTube about a man who had stem cells injected into his eyes for cataracts or something. He went blind because oftentimes they get cells from the thigh bone or the leg, the toe bone, some other part of the body, and then they're injecting these stem cells into parts of the body that don't know how to process those stem cells, and then something really horrible happens, the consequences again. And Indy B. Singh says, thank you for informing on the issue and some solutions. Yeah, we have to have solutions, always, because this is so enlightening and so needed for us to wake up and shine our light on this dark, dark information period of time that we have forgotten about. Because it's been there. It's been in the Bible. And people look at the Bible as just history. Oh, it's nice to read about, but it's metaphysical. It's metaphors, allegories, and symbolism in my mind. So we have a caller, 706-202. Your mic is open. I believe that's Baba Kwame Sonor. Welcome.
Good evening, Sister Viata. And excellent, you know, the brother is so much on point. And what he's talking about in going back historically, and this is where he ties it all together. I don't know if you heard that Cortez interview, that it was in 2019. This Swedish woman came to a news conference that she was doing, and in her statement was about the climate change. I just sent it to you, and it's been played on a lot of different shows. She's telling her directly that it's time that we're in such dire straits that we have to begin to eat our babies.
Oh my.
You should play the clip and you will hear her. She's talking about eating the babies. This is how desperate they are with the climate change. But what we have to go back and look at, and he talks about the years ago, and he's talking about this country. And the thing that you have to remember, the Beatles came here in 1966. And before they came, they made an interview in the London, like a Rolling Stone magazine, and told them that we're going to be more popular than Jesus to your youth. We're going to be more popular than Jesus to your youth. Rock and roll is taking over, and they're going to be more powerful. And then you have to look at what he's talking about, these entities and these altars that he spoke of. And the thing happened is you go back 50 years, just about 1977, is when Jobs introduced the personal computer, the home computer, the Apple. So here is the Apple again being presented for people to now make their altar of this computer screen and this terminal and keyboard. This becomes your new altar. Now we have condensed it to now we walk around with it in our hand and we give our children these iPads and these laptops and these iPhones and we connect them to that Apple.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because here's Jonathan goes into the ancient mystery of the personal computer.
Could there be an ancient mystery behind your computer, your personal computer? This is Jonathan Cahn, and what I'm revealing is a taste of The Return of the Gods, the latest book I've written. When America turned away from God, it turned to the gods. Didn't know it, but it did. And the spirits came back. And when it turned away from God, it turned to paganism. Now, the Bible says when the people of the ancient world, when they turned away from God, like ancient Israel, they turned to the gods and they turned to idols. The Bible says when they turned to idols, they served the works of their own hands. An idol is something you put over God that you actually serve, that you focus on all the time, or that has consumed you, or that you are with all the time. Well, the Bible says they served the works of their own hands. They made this thing, and then they served it, which is kind of strange. Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he's on Mars Hill, recorded in the book of Acts, a pagan place filled with gods and idols, he stands there and he speaks to paganism, to the pagan world, and to idols. And when he speaks of idols, he uses the Greek word techne. From that Greek word that he uses of idols, we get the word technology. We get the word tech. We get the words high tech. What does this reveal? We have made the greatest idol, the computer, because it's an idol. You see, the idols looked human. The computer can actually act human. See, what it's saying is, when we turn away from God, we will end up serving the works of our hands. We'll end up serving our own technology. That's not saying technology is bad. It's neutral. But what it's saying is when a culture, a civilization turns away from God, or a person turns away from God, it ends up serving the works of its hands. It ends up, so we are now serving our techne, our computers. The computers have become masters of people. People have increasingly become part of computers, prompted by their computer, attached, addicted to their computer, as if an appendage to their computer. Each generation gets more and more addicted. Now the Bible says the idol is made in the image of its maker. So computers are taking on more and more human qualities, human powers, human attributes, human functions. And the Bible also says, amazing revelation, that those who worship idols become like the idols they worship. So what's happening? What's happening is that people, as they spend more time in front of their computers, their screens, they become less and less human. They take on more attributes of the computer. They become more joined to the computer, less able to relate. While computers are taking more and more functions of man, of humanity. This is a little taste of the mystery that is revealed in The Return of the Gods, the latest book I've written, which is about what is happening, transforming your life, and what you need to know and what you need to do about it. Return of Gods is literally everywhere, wherever there are books, for you to get and for those in your life. For those.
So we're not even talking about laptops in that audio. We're talking about our phones. Our phones have become the idol, the computer. So this is all about bringing us new awareness. Go ahead.
No, and I just had the one thing that he's talking about, and he's talking about the Bible, and he's constantly saying the Bible, the Bible. And the thing that happens is the indigenous people of this land and the indigenous people on the continent and anywhere the missionaries went in with the Bible and the force of the Bible of death upon the person to believe in this book, the people that were there in the land before they brought that book had a life and an overstanding and a relationship with the spirit of their creative belief system. And then you come in and say, you force this book. You have to have this book is the only book where people have been existing before that book was written.
Right. Well, that's part of the fall that I'm talking about where the Christian church fell short, because they were presenting not nature, like as we know, nature deficit disorder is the big dis-ease or imbalance in our society. But Jonathan, being a preacher, being a teacher of the Bible, he's giving us the relevant parts of ancient history that we apply to the scriptures in the Bible. You're absolutely right. Indigenous people, Native Americans, and people in other lands, they had this book forced on them, which was not beneficial to them when they were already at a level of pure love and energy in nature where there was no judgment, no condemnation. And then the people of the Bible come in, and, oh, you're going to hell. And so I'm saying the Christianity has fallen short, fallen away. They began the fall away from God or creator by doing exactly what you just said, evangelizing, proselytizing, when the thing that they should have been doing was coming together with people of indigenous cultures and other lands and talking about how can I learn from you and what can I share with you about ancient history or whatever. So absolutely, the Christian church has fallen first. They were the first to fall short, and then it's just spiraling. Right. It's spiraling more and more and more until we're at a place where they think you need to eat your children. Get out of here. That's why this.
And the other part, and just one part, when they talk about the Gentiles, and now they're removing the genitals.
Absolutely, it's insanity. And so we're just sharing a book that brings you into understanding part of yourself. And, you know, this is really partial understanding of the gender confusion and conflict. But I like the ancient part that has been left out of many teachings as far as what we're looking at, especially when it comes to things like the calendar, the 10th, let me play this one, the 10th of Tammuz. If you know about Tammuz, was the lover of Ishtar. So we have a society that uses a Greek calendar, which is all about Tammuz. So this society is still following the energy of deities and entities that are totally out of alignment with nature.
An amazing inscription from ancient Babylon, an amazing mystery behind an event that changed American culture and world culture, that has altered sexuality, gender, and even our children. This is Jonathan Cahn. In The Return of the Gods, I open up the mystery that has transformed our lives in every way, and that is behind it all, the mystery that's from ancient times. And the ancient principalities, spirits, entities that are actually working in our culture right now, affecting everything, affecting every generation, affecting the young generation especially. It's happening, and it's real. And you're dealing, it's affecting your life. It's affecting people in your life. And where is it going? What's the future? What do you need to know? And how to prevail, how to survive, and how to prosper. Well, this time, I want to show you something. There is this ancient entity I have spoken about who blurred the lines between male and female, turned one into the other. It says, the ancient inscription I put in the book says, she turns a man into a woman into a man, exchanges the roles of one for the other, and the other for the one, the function.
The time when she especially possessed the culture, as we saw last time, was linked to the month of June. And so it's no accident that now the month of June has become the month of celebrating the altering of gender and sexuality. That the days of her power, her possession of a culture, were particularly linked to June and the last days of June. So the day that marriage as we have known it, as it has always been, the day the Supreme Court overturned marriage, it's no accident, it happened at that exact time at the end of June, June 26th. And the day the Supreme Court ruled that a man could marry a man, a woman could marry a woman, took place June, the last days of June, and the days of the goddess, June 26th. But remember that night. That night, rainbows began appearing in the night across America. The rainbow was actually the ancient sign linked to the goddess, linked to the goddess that altered sexuality and gender. So now it was back. Now it, as her sign, as the sign of that again. And now I want to say, the people who did that, they had no idea. It wasn't that they knew what they were doing, but the mystery has to manifest. So now it's back. And now on that very day, the greatest victory of the principality of the goddess, that marriage is overturned, marriage between man and woman overturned, the bending of gender. That night, if you remember, the White House, the chief house of America, was lit up in the colors of the rainbow. It was as if she was saying, that's the mark, my mark. Now the White House belongs to me. Now this nation will belong to me. But I discovered something, I saw something. On the ancient biblical calendar and the ancient Middle Eastern calendar, the night was the 10th of Tammuz that the rainbow lit up the White House. In the Return of the Gods, I reveal something I found in an ancient Babylonian inscription. It says that day, the 10th of Tammuz, is especially appointed, listen, to cast a spell, for the casting of a spell to cause a man to love a man. That day was appointed, ordained for the casting of a spell to cause a man to love a man, the very day marriage between man and woman was overturned for a man to love a man. The Supreme Court justices had no idea. It was the ancient mystery. The gods had returned, and they are even now at work for real to change our world and our lives. This is just a taste of what is revealed, the mystery revealed in full in the Return of the Gods. The Return of the Gods is revealing what is happening, why it's happening. You'll understand it in new light, a new crystal clarity, why and how to deal with it, where it's going, what the future is, and how to get ready, how to be prepared for the future, how to survive and prevail. Next time, what's happening all around you, and yet you may never have realized it.
So many of us probably remember when the White House lit up in rainbow colors, when those laws to give men more authority to marry each other and so forth. And I thought about Barack Obama promoted more LGBTQ legislation and changes. And so now we can understand the spirit behind the man. Some of us don't want to think about that, but we had a president in the White House who was really being motivated and changed or influenced by a spirit of Tammuz, Ishtar, and more. So we can have better understanding about the times that we're in and over the last few years, who has really been in control, influencing the lawmakers, and it's still going on. We can have a red flag can go up. As I said, Chicago, watch out. You got a new mayor, but his actions will tell everything. If people are talking about eating their young, they have really lost their minds. So I have a few more. The mystery of the Transformer is another piece of information that
we are really now witnessing the altering of gender, the confusion and merging of male and female, man and woman, boys and girls, sexuality itself. What if behind it all was actually an ancient spirit? What if we could identify that spirit and reveal it? we're going to do just that. This is Jonathan Cahn. The Return of the Gods is my latest book that I've written that opens up a mystery that is behind everything that is happening in America, in our culture, in the world, what's transforming it and touching your life and the people in your life, and what we need to know, because where it's all heading, what's going to happen, and what do we need to know to prevail. Now, we're giving a taste of what's revealed in full in the book. It's the mystery of the returning spirits that have come back into our culture. We spoke of the Dark Trinity, the three primary principalities that have come back, that were there in ancient times, come back into modern times, modern culture, and to America. The second one is called the Enchantress, the goddess. She was, as we saw, the goddess of sexual immorality. And so in the 1960s, as America turned away from God, we saw the sexual revolution. But there was something else. There was something strange about this goddess. It's linked to Venus. Remember, she was called Venus by the Romans. She was called Ishtar by the Babylonians. Ashtoreth in the Bible. But it's linked to Venus, actually. It's linked to the planet, because that's why Venus is called Venus, because that planet or that light in the sky was always linked to this principality long before they called the principality Venus. And Venus was called the morning star. It was also called the evening star. Interesting. Opposites. And so the goddess actually was the merging of opposites, barriers, limits, the breaking of limits, the breaking of lines. Not just in things like that, but in human nature itself. I found an ancient inscription concerning the goddess I put into the book, The Return of the Gods. She says, I am a woman, and she says, I am a man. I am a woman, I am a man. In an ancient hymn to the goddess, it says, she turns a man into a woman and a woman into a man. So the enchantress, the seductress, the goddess of the sexual revolution was also the principality of bending gender, blurring sexuality, confusing it, merging it, replacing one with the other, male with female and female with male, subverting it, altering it, man as woman, woman as man, sexuality and gender. So what would we expect to happen if she returned to our world? What we'd expect to happen is exactly what has happened. And notice something. Notice how it happened. First, it didn't come out at first, because at first it was too radical. That the America of the 1960s would never have been able to deal with that, because it was the first step. Back there was the sexual revolution. But it's going to lead to that, and has led to that, as this spirit comes in. First, the sexual revolution, weakening of marriage. Then as she takes possession of the culture, we're going to see more and more now the deeper, darker work, which is the blending, merging, blurring, confusing, and destroying of gender. And so that's what's going to happen. And so that's exactly why we are now witnessing what we are witnessing. That man as woman, woman as man, man turning into woman, woman turning into man, the confusing and blender. It is the sign that the enchantress, the seductress, who is also the transformer, is now possessing, taking possession of America. See, when you turn away from God, this is what you're going to turn to. Now, if we had known the mystery back then, when America started taking prayer out, started emptying itself of God's presence, we could have said then, it was going to go here. Because this is from ancient times. This is where you go. It's either God or paganism, God or this. This is just a taste. We're going to get deeper, much deeper into this. But this is just a taste of the mystery revealed in full in The Return of the Gods. And The Return of the Gods is revealing the mystery that is behind everything that's happening, what we're dealing with, as you can see, why and what, and what's really happening, and where is it going, what's the future, and what do you need to know to prevail. The Return of the Gods is literally everywhere. It's everywhere where there are books. You can get it for yourself and also for people in your life who need to know.
So you might be asking yourselves, I don't know if you're thinking like I do, where is the creator in all of this madness? And that's something that we can answer in the next half hour is, where is that pure energy of love and non-judgment and non-condemnation and non-punishment? Where is that energy in the scope of all that these deities are operating on planet Earth and have been bringing to the surface since the 1960s? Where is our creator? That's the question some people ask. That's why some people, I don't believe in God. How can he let these things happen? But there is a reason, as you might beginning to see and understand why these return of the gods are real, because of choices. It has to do with our choices. So Naima Latif, when we come back, we'll get into the last audio about the molten beast and why are we not seeing a change from all this evil and insanity. But we'll take our last break. Naima Latif, your mic is open. We'll be right back.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Back. Thank you for joining me this evening. We've got a couple of comments from our Facebook family. Indy B says, all we can trust is the divine everywhere present coming through as to get us through. So that speaks to us about choices and consciousness. Are you conscious of who the divine is in your life and around you in your environment? You know, the thing about the Kwame was texting me something about the month of June being Cancerians, and that word brings to mind that cancer develops when the environment of that person is very acid. Bruce Lipton who's a scientist, brings forth a teaching about epigenetics, and that he found looking in a powerful microscope that the cells changed their structure when their environment was changed. So it speaks to us about being more conscious of what is divine in our life and what is not, because our environment determines whether we're going to get a disease or be suffering or in pain, and our environment determines whether we're going to live in peace or not. So all of this information that Jonathan Kahn is bringing to us is really hopefully alerting us to making better choices so that the consequences don't continue to be reinforcing these deities and spirits that have an agenda to take control of our lives. And just like the comment that divine, trust the divine everywhere, the divine is in us. We are the divine energy with a brain. And the problem why we have this situation we're in now is because people have not been conscious of what the environment does to our cells. It's on a cellular level. We have trillions of very intelligent cells in every vessel. And we've been living in a society where people are totally unconscious about that. No awareness whatsoever that the choices you make have consequences. So these people who have fallen under the spell of Ashtar and Baal and all these other deities, they were unconscious. And so now this information that Jonathan Kahn brings to us should trigger us to be more aware and conscious of every single choice we make and what the consequence will be, whether we will be inviting more influence from these molten beasts and spirits, or whether we will begin to take charge of our environment and our society. So one more piece of information about these molten beasts, which is part of our awakening to how we are influenced in our society.
Has the sign of an ancient god, an ancient entity spirit called the possessor, has it appeared in America? A sign that he's actually in the process of possessing, taking over America. This is Jonathan Kahn. We're going to give you a taste of the return of the gods. What we've seen so far is that as America and the West turned away from God, it opened the door to ancient spirits. The same spirits that Israel, ancient Israel, opened itself up to when it turned away from God. The first one is called the Possessor. There's a dark trinity. The first is called the Possessor, or in Hebrew, Baal. Now, we saw how Baal, or this spirit, the same spirit, entered into American culture. When we turned away in the 1960s, we started dramatically emptying ourselves of God. This spirit comes in. Well, who was Baal or Baal? What did he look like? The depictions we have of him, he is wearing bull horns. That was one depiction, part human, part bull. But the other symbols of Baal were simply bulls, particularly molten bulls that were all over Israel, all over the Middle East, the sign of Baal, molten bulls or bronze bulls. That same image is not only linked to, it's an image of a nation that has once known God but turned away from God, given itself to the gods, but also, I mean, it's the symbol of a fall of a nation and a nation possessed by the possessor. Even the golden calf that you hear about, that the Israelites built, that's actually a golden bull calf. The word in Hebrew is egel, means bull. It was a bull. And so it was a young bull. And so when they turned away, the very first turning away, which happened at Sinai, when they turned away from the Ten Commandments from Moses, they turned to the bull. And when Israel later turned away from God, when it split into two, it erected again this golden this Egel bullcalf, an idol. So all over Israel, when it turned away from God, the sign of Baal manifested, materialized, the sign particularly of a molten bronze bull in the end, or a molten metal bull. Now the question, if America turned away from God to this spirit, if it started being possessed by it, could the sign actually appear, the sign of this ancient entity God actually appear in America? It already has. Go to New York City, the place where the harbingers are, and you'll see it. A molten bronze bull, the sign of Baal, Baal. They had no idea what they were doing. They didn't know it, but the mystery just manifests. It's a sign has appeared in the streets of New York City. The sign of what? Of a nation that once knew God, but then turned away from God and turned to the gods. A nation that gave itself to the spirit of the possessor. Now, interesting, because the spirit of Baal, Baal was linked to prosperity. Well, even in America, we link our prosperity to a bull. We call a prosperous market a bull market. We're bullish, and it was actually erected in the financial district. We have literally turned away from God, and the sign of the possessor has actually manifested in our nation. This is just a little taste of the mystery revealed in the return of the gods. This is the mystery that's going to show you the reason behind everything that's happening and what you need to know and how to prevail in the days ahead. To get the return of the gods, it's everywhere, wherever there are books.
Oh, New York City is spoken about often in his book, which is totally fascinating to me because I don't have any interest to ever go to New York, but... And a friend of mine who lives in Maine, by the way, let me ask for prayer for Maine. They had another train wreck in Maine that is spewing out toxic chemicals. There's got to be a plan behind this. So she's an hour away from this train wreck. So she's kind of preparing to maybe exit the location for a while. So keep Maine in your prayers. And someone invited her to come back to New York City to help them out. And then she said, I have no desire whatsoever to go to New York City. I'm like, honey, I'm with you on that one. The state of Florida, according to the driver's DMV department, has had an estimate of 40,000 New Yorkers move to Florida. I'm like, please don't let this state fall into the ocean with all these people. But that's the energy that is present in New York. Not only are there, evidently their government officials totally corrupted and doing some crazy things, but the people have exited and escaped because of the harshness there, because of the energy, and because of the spirits that Jonathan talks about in his book that are very prevalent in New York City. That have indications of how people in New York have fallen from the pure love and energy that does not condemn, judge, or punish the people that live there. They're even initiating robot cops in New York City. It will be really interesting to see the end result for what's going to happen to New York, in the next few months or even years, because it looks like they're going to be empty. It's going to be empty there. But this is to say, all of this to say, Jonathan is, I think, just reminding us of the evidence that is everywhere in our country, the United States of America, of these spirits, of these entities that were first spoken about in the Bible, and the church is probably one of the first institutions to demonstrate the presence of some of these spirits and entities. Money, 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 money. You got these mega churches that have fallen. Eddie Long, for one, I can think of in Atlanta. You got mega churches everywhere thinking, promoting money, 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 money. And our job, I think, is individuals and on this show is to consider how much the spirit of Baal is in your life. No Christian values is why Jonathan says we have these gods that have returned, these spirits, these entities have returned. But what are the values and morals that Jonathan is actually talking about? And some of them, as I have seen them, are these dark trinities in movies, TV, music, Wall Street, money, materialism, carnality, vulgarity. Oh, so many things that have surfaced in our society that we need to be more conscious about whether we're going to participate in these things that are creating the open door for these spirits and entities that we're talking about tonight. And before I forget, let me remind you, tomorrow, Monday Morning Mindfulness will have their first annual Homeless Benefit Gala promo at 7 to 9 a.m. So be sure and join Zelda tomorrow morning at 7, 8 Central, or 8 Eastern for the annual Homeless Benefit Gala. Zelda is very active in the homeless community in Chicago. We have homeless communities exploding all over the world. I saw a YouTube video of the homeless situation in Japan. So what is that about? I think it's a lot of that has to do with, again, the choices that we have made, not just as individuals, but as communities, as elected officials. Last year and even this year, as I talked about on my show Friday, we've got our government promoting more jabs. The government of the United States is has approved or is talking about spending, I think it's like $10 billion on more jabs for the country. I'm speechless when I hear that, but yet these are the spirits operating in our government that do not care. It's not the spirit of pure love that doesn't control its citizens. See, the Creator gives us free will. Think about this for a minute. We have free will that's taught about in the Bible, and yet we also have teachings about obey these commandments. Now, this in some way is a conflict. You got to obey all these commandments, but yet I'm giving you free will to do whatever you think is best for you. So what has happened is that free will has created consequences. And one of the consequences is a wide open door for Ishtar, for Baal, for Molech, for all these spirits, these entities. So it should help us, this book, again, should help us be more conscious of our choices and how we are opening the door for spirits that are influencing our children now. And I found out as well that parents are traumatized. Many parents are traumatized by their children. Not their children, they're more like young adults coming to them saying, I think I'm a man or I think I'm a boy when I'm in a girl's body. The parents are traumatized by that. We're not hearing from the parents that are experiencing this in their families where they don't know what to do. And then Planned Parenthood. If you go to Planned Parenthood, they're ready to give you hormone therapy. Planned Parenthood is part of this Ishtar spirit, Baal spirit, that invites children to be sacrificed. So we're looking at a society where parents have lost control somehow and they're not communicating with their children enough to dissuade them that the phone, the idol of the phone, has become the parent for many children. They're addicted to their phone, and so they're using their phones to develop knowledge and understanding about their bodies. We have a serious situation, but again, what this book I hope has done for you is opened up your awareness and challenge you to make better choices. And that, I think, is the solution for all of us, is to be more conscious. you have any comments or questions that we only have about, let's see, 7 minutes left. If you have any questions or comments, press 1. But my solution that I'm suggesting is to be more conscious, aware of the choices that you're making on a daily basis and whether your choices are opening up a door for more of these spirits to enter into your family, your community, and they're coming in through the music, as usual, TVs, corporations. It's time for us to get back to nature. So let's go into a little meditation, as I love, about nature, reminding us the simple message of earth, our body, water, my blood. Getting back to nature is part of the solution and away from the addiction to money and so much more materialism in our society. We have become, I look at the thrift stores as a sign of how materialistic we are. I went to donate some clothes to a thrift store, and they said, we can't take any more clothes. We're full up on no more clothes. And then when you go into some of these stores, there's just clothes. These are used clothes that people drop off. There are piles and piles of used clothing in thrift stores and places that get donations. They're overloaded because we have become so materialistic in our society. And I'm suggesting we get back to simplicity, anipi ceremonies, sweat lodges, nature. Go to blueberry, find a blueberry farm in your neighborhood and pick blueberries instead of depending on grocery stores. Stack the shelves with more processed food. We need to get farmers, promote more farmers markets, get into more simplistic life. That's part of the solution. Simplify your life and become more conscious of every single choice you make in every area of your life. It could be inviting in more of the spirits that are now controlling our society. So let us do some breathing in and out to get us more focused and balanced on what is really important in our society.
Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves, I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones, I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings, I know a caged bird. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here. The rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories.
need to quiet my mind. I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds. We need to listen. Earth, my body. Water,
earth, my body.
Fire, my breath, and fire, my spirit.
Earth, my body.
Water, my
spirit. Earth, my body.
Earth, my body.
Water, my blood.
Air, my breath, and fire, my spirit.
Breathe in the love, the pure love energy of our Creator. Breathe in that pure love energy of our Creator that is non-judgmental, not condemning, and not punishing, and not manipulating, giving us the free will to make decisions. And it's time to be more conscious about our decisions that are echoing in, that are inviting in the evil spirits that are causing something. At last count, 28,000 men and women are detransitioning. They made a mistake. So 28,000, the last count I heard, that's how many men and women are sorry for trying to change their sex and their gender. And here's a comment from Zelda. She said, we had so many clothes for the homeless, it was ridiculous. We asked people to take one garbage bag each because we had too much. Yes, it's just a sign of our materialism. So much materialistic possessions in our world that it's overloading everybody. The thrift stores, the closets of the world, you name it. So let us be more conscious, more loving and kind to our neighbors, ourselves even. Choose to simplify our lives. Let go, let go, let love, let love. Let light, let the light of our Creator bring the balance that we need in our homes, in our bodies. Be in gratitude, be grateful, be grateful, be grateful. And say, I love you to every person you meet in some way, shape, or form. Everybody's looking for love. So let's do that. Share the love and the light. That is part of the solution to these gender confusions and the operation of evil spirits among us. So thank you all for being here. We're going to say thank you.
To the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Geret. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you, Father.